little checkup. Everything was good and everything was fine with him, so we thank God for that. And they got to go down to wherever that is we go, Woodlands. Go to the Woodlands. All right, thank you. Now, take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Genesis. We'll look in Genesis tonight. And in the book of Genesis, it's been a good and prosperous week in the Lord. And, you know, as a result, we need to be able to learn how to be still and just know He's God.
Yes.
We live in a world of activity. And we think if we're not doing something, going somewhere, doing this or doing that, and involved in 20 other things, that something's wrong with us. What we're trying to do is keep our mind busy, running under a full head of steam, and we're never really taking time just to sit down and to be able to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 6, we'll begin there. Genesis chapter 6, if you find the place you're able to stand, we'll look there in verse number 8. In verse number 8, all right? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. And through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within without pitch. And he said, and this is the fashion, so forth and on. Tells about the length of it. He's going to put a window, verse 16, and he's going to put a window in it. And here's what he said. I want to make that window in the ark, the cubic. Shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark, and shalt thou set in the side thereof. Now watch this. Lower second and third story shalt thou make. So it's a 3-story deal that we're looking at. And God's warning that I'm going to bring a flood upon the earth in verse 17. Everything that's in the earth is going to die. Man, what a sad commentary that is. But yet, nonetheless, they're fixing to find out that it's a true one. Notice, if you will, verse 22, and thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, and so did he. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and how we thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. We praise you and thank you, thou art God, beside thee there is none else. Lord, we thank you while the world's in chaos, while the world's in doubt, while the world is cussing and fighting and ratting and raving against thy holy name. We want to say thank you for the grace of God that allowed us to get saved and to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Now bless, I pray, every family represented here tonight. Be with those that could not be. Save the lost. Lift up the downhearted. Set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach on Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When you read chapter number 6 and you begin to look at it, in verse 5, God had looked down upon the wickedness of man. So man was corrupt, and man that every imagination that he had, and that the thoughts of his heart were evil continually. And I want to tell you something, in the midst of a world that was perverted, that was crooked, that was wicked, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, in the day and hour we're looking at, and we look at this, what a wonderful thought that it is in the face of all that wickedness that God pronounced saving grace to a man by the name of Noah. In the lesson that we're looking at, the Bible said that we said that Noah, verse number 9, he was a just man. He was a just man because he'd been justified by the blood, no doubt, and because of the grace of God. And here was the thing, and Noah walked with God. Now, that'd be a wonderful thing that if God could say that about each and every one of us, and he can say that about each and every one of us if you want to walk with God. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that he gets 3 sons to his credit in verse number 10. And let me say to you that when Noah gets these sons, he names them Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, everybody in the building tonight is a descendant of one of them. Now, you may be a cross descendant. There may be some crossbreeding there somewhere between Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But everybody in this room, everybody in this world, that's what was left, and that's what God reseeded the rest of the world with, considering Noah and his wife, his 3 sons and their wives, 8 people that were allowed upon that ark. in the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find is that the world has always been, it is tonight, and it's going to get worse by tomorrow. It's a corrupt place. It's got corrupt people. Oh, there's a lot of religious nuts out there like Mark Wahlberg and that long-haired little sissified hippie-looking dude that played Jesus in some program. And they're all of them, you know, let's go ahead and talk to Jesus and tic-tac-toe and here we go kind of thing. But that does, you can just tell they're blind and they have absolutely no clue about the way, the truth, and the life, and they're not walking with God. I want to say I would to God they did walk with God, but they don't. Do you know the reason being, when you see somebody like that and you're saved and know the Lord, immediately in your mind you're thinking, here's a person that's religious and sincere about what they're doing, and they don't have a clue what it means to be born again. Somebody said, well, how can you know that? Well, you can't know that if that's your question until you get born again. But when you get born again, you're going to know the belief I have is not something somebody suggested to me. It's a belief that God gave me when I heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Now, let me say to you, the Bible said that that world like then, they don't know him and neither can they know him. And the reason being is because they're trying to have something that's been arranged without God. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that Noah's got a commission to him. And here's what he's going to do. God said unto Noah, there's going to be death to all the world that we're looking at in verse number 13. And yet, there's going to be for you and your house, there's going to be deliverance. And let me tell you right now, they weren't lining up to be able to hear the message of Noah. He preached, what, 120 years while he was building the ark? And nobody seemed to believe him. I'm sure they mocked him, sure they made fun of him. But nobody seemed to believe him until it was too little too late. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out this ark is built by God's design. He tells him what he wants him to do. I want you to put three stories in it. And let me tell you right now, make no mistake about it, is that whenever Noah and his family went into that ark, they were called in by the Lord who was on the inside waiting on them. And once they got in, the Bible said, and the Lord shut him in. Now, you know, in modern Hollywoodism and technology that they have, you know, they'll always show some Noah and his bunch getting in the ark and then some man or Noah, somebody shutting the door. No, that ain't how it happened. God shut him in. If you're a child of God tonight, God has shut you in. And let me tell you is that you can keep running your mouth without God, but he'll finally shut you up. This crowd here that didn't believe God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent, let me say to you that they don't realize it, though, is that he is God, and besides him, there is none else. In verse number 22 of chapter number 6 that we closed that with, and thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, and so did he. What a good commentary that is, and a good compliment that is on that line. Now, chapter 7 and verse 1, the Lord said unto Noah, come down all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. You know, you hear me say every now and again that one but one preacher that was alive that was saved during Noah's day, I mean, he was it. Now, there were preachers before that had died off. And so shall it be when the end comes again. They're not going to be a preacher standing around in every corner. I got to tell you right now is that Noah was a man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at in chapter number 7 and about verse number 12, you'll find out there's going to be 40 days and 40 nights of rain that's going to fall from heaven. The deeps broke up, and water coming up out of the ground, and water coming from heaven, and all that business there. And let me tell you something, is that in verse number 16 of chapter number 7, and they went in, male and female, and all the flesh and the animals and that he's talking about, and the Lord shut him in. I'll tell you something, that must have been a real trying time for people scratching on the side of the ark that now they want to believe too little too late. Look at about verse number 19, chapter 7, verse 19. And the waters prevailed exceeding upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven and covered were covered. 15 cubits upward, somewhere between 17 and a half, 22 and a half feet, it went up above all the mountains. angels and all the flesh in verse 21 dying that moved upon the earth, both fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, in all in whose the nostril of the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land dying, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. As you talk about the scene of death and a sad situation. The waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Now, somewhere roughly around 5 months that they were on that ark. And let me tell you something, is that that must have been something, knowing that those people outside and every living creature had died. And in verse number 1 of chapter number 8, and God remembered Noah. I got to tell you, and all that was with him in the ark, he began to let the waters be assuaged and to finally run back on. I got to tell you right now, is that in the world that we're living in, there's some people think, well, you know, the flood was maybe just a localized there. Hey, it's worldwide, covered the highest mountains. And make no mistake about it, you can believe anything you want to believe, but I just choose to let God be true and every man a liar. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, God remembered Noah. And let me tell you something, is that finally in chapter number 8, verse number 4, and the Bible said, and the ark rested in the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month, upon the mountains of Ariam. Just like when the waters began to rise, it finally picked the ark up. Now when the waters rescinded and left and were assuaged, is that finally the ark rested in a place because it was not deep enough for it to continue on. I want to say to you that I don't know about you, but it's good when I read in verse number 1 of chapter 8, and God remembered Noah. Isn't that something? Now, when you look at that passage and you realize that, is that you're going to find out God's not going to forget you and I. Look in chapter number 9 and verse number 1. And the Bible said, and God blessed Noah and his sons. His sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That verse of scripture right there tells you why that Noah was able to curse his grandson, why he couldn't curse Ham. Because you can't curse what God's already blessed. God's already blessed Noah, blessed his sons, and you can't undo that. Let me say to you that when you look into it, is that if you've ever been saved by the grace of God, you're saved right now. You may have blew up, lost your temper, said a bunch of junk you shouldn't have said, but it don't make you any less saved. If God's blessed you with salvation, you'll be blessed forever. There may be times is that you rise up, whether your husband has provoked you, whether your wife has provoked you, whether your children have provoked you. I won't tell you, it won't make any difference whatsoever if you've got the blessing of God upon your heart and life, and you've been washed by the blood and born into the family of God. No man can erase that. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that here he is that here's Noah, and it's going to come time now as the waters are finally drying up and running back into different courses and dry lands appearing. Let me tell you something, it's going to come time for Noah and those with him to come up out of that ark. And I want you to look in verse number 13, all right? Verse number 13. And this is in chapter number 9, I think. And he said, and I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of covenant between a man and the earth. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that God's about to do something. And let me see here. Where I'm at. Yeah, verse 13 of chapter 8. And it came to pass that in the 601st year, that in the first month, in the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from off the earth. And notice, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Now here's what happened. They've been floating around in that ark. People have already died, animals included. Everything that was not in the ark with Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, everything that was not on that ark with them died on the face of this earth. Now it's time for them to come up out of the ark. Let me tell you something, is that they didn't go back out the door. They removed the covering and they went straight up and got out of it. The only way you and I are getting out of it is going straight up. Not a door to open, beat down, or do anything for you and I. We're going up and out of here. And Noah, in this typology, shows us that under the guidance of God and the obedience and command of the Lord, they were able to come up and come out of that ark by removing the covering. Now, when they get outside there, it's a new world they're in. I can tell you something else. It's a fresh start they're going to have. I can tell you something else about it, is that in chapter number 8, verse 15, God speaking to Noah, saying, "Go forth of the ark, thou, thy wife, thy sons, and thy sons' wives with thee, and bring with thee every living thing that is with thee." In other words, God tells them to come up and come out and go forth. Now, chapter 9, at about verse number 24. It must have been something for Noah and his family. How'd you like to be on the face of this earth with only 8 people? Some of us would go nuts. I mean, literally, absolutely bonkers. But the Bible said that, if you will, that Noah had got out, planted a vineyard. Now, remember, he's already witnessed what God does to all this wicked bunch of sinners. And as a result of that, he plants a vineyard. And then he goes and drinks of the wine of it. Now, I know you can get every pro and every con and every this and every that. And that argue, well, you know, he probably thought he was just drinking grape juice. Noah's not a stupid man. And when he woke up from his wine, he saw what his son, quote unquote, had done unto him. Now, let me tell you right now, is there's going to be those that say, well, you know, it's probably just the man looked in lust. Oh, really? David looked in lust, but he wasn't about to die until he finally got that woman and had done what he was looking and lusting about. Here you'll find that whenever Noah woke, you can read the chapter, and realize what Ham had done. Man, what a godless, wicked bunch that is there. We live in a world that's that way. I read about it all the time. I read about it all the time. I hear about it all the time. That people are sex-minded maniacs in the world that we live in. And let me tell you right now, is make no mistake about it, is that here's a man there that obviously has a relation with his own daddy. His other two sons, Shem and Japheth, they take a cover and they go backwards and cover him up. But whenever he knows what his son had done, he puts a curse upon Canaan, Ham's grandson. I want to say to you that, if you will, look at what it done to all the world that we're living in. You're never going to stop. You're never going to get out of racism, though we ought to not practice it. But you're never going to stop that in the world that we're living in. And right here is where it all begins to head up and take place. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson that's there, there's a lot of things said about them. But notice, if you will, that God tells them about the curse that's going to be upon them. Cursed be Canaan, servant of servants shall he be, verse 25 of chapter 9. And let me say to you, before that we get down to where the short road is that there's a curse there that was in Genesis in chapter number 9. And you may be thinking, or you're going to run up on somebody and say every now and again, well, yeah, that might have been for the moment. Now, I'm glad you brought it up. In fact, it's going to happen all the way and going to affect them even in the millennium. You can read that in Zechariah chapter number 14, about verse number 21. God's not so easy to just brush something that serious off. God warned about it over in the book of Jude, about the sodomy and about people of that nature and so forth and on. Where obviously nobody's saying much about it in the day and hour we're living in. And the reason being, because such a vast, wicked subject, and churches now are filled up with it. I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that whenever you look at Noah in verse number 28 of chapter number 9, and Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Now, did you notice something? After this transpired there in chapter 9, and the drunkenness, the wine, the curse. After all that's taken place, the last 300 years of Noah's life are pretty much left blank. You know, that's what sin will do for you. I know some people across the country tonight, namely some of them are preachers. Some of them are already dead and in hell. And if half of what I ever heard about them was true, they're in hell right now. I said all that to be able to say this, is that I used to like to listen to Jimmy Swagger. Now, he's not a Baptist, but I used to like to listen to him play that piano. And he used to sing that heaven sounding sweeter all the time. And I'm telling you the truth is, I'd listen to that. Of course, I wasn't watching him on TV or nothing, but I'm sure that if you could have seen him, boy, he is beating them eyes and he is beating them ivories and oh my. And he could sing two or three of them songs like that that would just absolutely make you feel good that you knew the Lord and knew somebody singing about him. And I always liked him until he got caught in California in a car with that whore. I came out, and buddy, he did stand up on national television weeping and bawling, "I've sinned against my Lord," and all of that business, and I hope it was real. He never said nothing about getting saved again. You'd think people like that that believe if you don't use it, you lose it. If you use it wrong, you're going to lose it anyhow. You would think that he would have at least said, "Hey, man, listen, I slipped. I'm lost without God, and I want to get saved right here," but he didn't. Now, you know the reason might be is because of the fact that if you're really saved and you know the Lord, God's blessed you with the gift of salvation, and there ain't nothing nobody can do about it, including shame on the devil. He can't either. Do I believe old Mr. Swaggart's saved? I mean, he possibly could be. He's messed up doctrinally, no doubt. I heard him preach a sermon, and he stopped. Now, you understand, he said. You understand, he said. Is that it was an emergency. And my old car quit running. I got out there and it was a six-cylinder. And I laid my hands on them plugs and prayed for it. And God done a valve job right there. I'd have been better off. Listen, I held that against him for a long time. And I thought to myself, hey, he'd have been better off doing valve jobs on people's car with the power of God than getting in a car with a whore. See? Now, every time his name is mentioned, that's all I can think of. I'd like to forget it, but you see that? Noah, whenever you talk about Noah, the last 300 years of his life, that's what sin will do for you. I know some fellows that have left out of here that messed up at the end of the road, and buddy, let me tell you, it'll follow you all the way to the graveyard. It's good to be saved and to be forgiven by the grace of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we thank you for loving us. Lord, we want to thank you for thy word. Thy word is true. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the Spirit of God to lead us and guide us and direct us therein. Forgive us where we failed thee. In Jesus' name we pray.